Okay, today we're going to explore Parshas Lech Lecha. And again, we're continuing with using the Nesivos Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe's understanding. He has a wealth of discussion on this Parsha. And really, this class can go in about three parts. So I don't know how far we'll get. I never know on Tuesday how far it's going to go. By the time I give the class on Thursday, I'm in a much better position. Okay, let's see what the prophet has to say about Avram Avinu. It's a very famous pasuk in Yeshaya. And the pasuk says, Zera Avram Ohave. As we discuss the Jewish people, they're called the seed of Avram, who loves me. Hashem says that Avram loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so with that in mind, let's look at the first pasuk of the Parsha, and we'll start asking some questions over here. The Parsha begins, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, the second source. Hashem spoke to Avram, and he said, Lech Lecha. So where Lech means go, Lecha is the challenging word over here. Lecha literally means is for you or to you. Me'artzecha, from your land, me'malatchom, from your birthplace, u'beisavicha, from the house of your father, el ha'aretz, to the land, asher ar'ekka, which I will show you. Ve'escha l'goy gadol, and for that I will make you into a great nation. Vavarechacha, I will bless you with great wealth. Vagad l'shemecha, I'll make your name great. Ve'yebracha, and you'll be the source of blessings. Okay, now, we know that this statement, this command of God for Avram to leave his birthplace, is one of the 10 tests, according to all opinions. There's a discussion amongst the rabbis what are precisely the 10 tests. But everybody agrees this is one of the 10 tests, whether like the Rambam, it's the first of the 10 tests, or like Rashi, the third of the 10 tests. It is definitely understood as one of the tests. And the question that the Rebbe asks, and many ask this question, we see that Avram serves Hashem out of love. So when Hashem is testing Avram, let's see how the test plays out. What does he say? You go from your land, from your birthplace, from the house of your father, which is not an easy task for people to do, to leave home, to leave people that know you and love you and all these things, and you've got a good name, and to leave home, to not know where you're going, would appear to be a pretty good test. However, why does God add on? Well, he does. He adds on, and if you go, I'll tell you what will happen. Oh, you're going to have many children, because you don't have any children now. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be famous. You're going to be the source of blessings. That's a lot of reward for going. So, first of all, if Avram is the type of person who loves Hashem, why does Hashem have to offer him so many incentives to do this? Let God just say, go, period. Why incentivize him to go? Question number one. Question number two, how great can a test be when God promises you a reward? Now, I think if any of us, we all have tests in our lives. If somebody says, just do it, and I'm going to make you a multimillionaire. Right? You don't have any children. You'll have skula lebanim. You'll have children. You know, you'll be famous. So what kind of test is that if you're promised so many rewards? All right? That's two opening questions to start things off over here. And moreover, again, why the need to incentivize him if we know that Avram's the kind of person who loves Hashem so much? Let's look at a few sources that show this idea beyond what the prophet says. Let's look in source number three, famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Asara nisyonos nisnasa Avram avinu lo v'shom. Avram was tested with 10 tests. V'omad bakulan, he withstood them all. And why does the Torah tell us all this? The reason that we're told, lahodia kamechibaso shel Avram avinu lo v'shom, to show the great love that Avram had for Hashem. The 10 tests show us that he had a tremendous amount of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And really, it's very interesting. Ramban in his Sefer Emunah Bitachon, he kind of begs the question. He says, well, what was so great about Avram passing tests? Many Jews pass tests. So what was so great about Avram? And the Ramban says in source number 4, he says, don't think that Avram was so virtuous because he fulfilled the whole Torah. See, why does Hashem like Avram so much? Because he did the whole Torah? Well, there should have been Jews who have kept the whole Torah. So why did Hashem, you know, like him so much? What was so great about Avram? But rather he was so beloved by Hashem because he withstood the 10 tests. Right? He passed the 10 tests. But again, so Ramban is saying, well, what was so great about Avram? Is it because he kept the whole Torah? No, there's other Jews who kept the Torah. So what's so great about him? What's so great about him is he withstood the 10 tests. No, aren't there other Jews who have passed the 10 tests as well? Jews have had tests. The rabbis tell us that, you know, the fact that Avram's told that he had 10 tests means we all have tests. We've all had tests. We've passed our tests. And Ramban is sort of happy in saying, well, that is the greatness of Avraham, is that he passed the 10 tests. Well, yeah, that's true, but what about others? Others have passed tests as well. He was willing to give up his life. Other Jews were willing to give up their lives. So, but be that as it may, Ramban says he has a tremendous love for Hashem. So if he has a tremendous love for Hashem, why have to incentivize him to go and pass his test? He does it because he loves Hashem. So what does he have to offer rewards if he's someone who loves Hashem so much? Okay, that's one line of questioning. Let's go a little bit further over here, and let's get back to this Lech Lecha business. What's this Lech Lecha? Go Lecha, which doesn't translate so easily. So Rashi explains in Source 5, he says, Lech Lecha, Lahanoscha Ulutovasecha, for your benefit and for your good. Okay, so it seems like Lech Lecha means go because it's going to be good for you. Well, it looks like it's going to be good for you. I guess the pasuk continued and said all the rewards he's getting. But does every time it say Lech Lecha mean that? Let's look in source number 6. How does Hashem start the test of the binding of Isaac? Which is not exactly a pleasant experience. It says, Vayomer Hashem says to him, Kach lecha es binchas yechicha, take your only child that you love so much, v'lech lecha. Same words exactly. Lech lecha. To Har Moriah. And take him there and burn him as an offering. Well, is lech lecha going to mean for your good and for your benefit there? Doesn't appear to be so beneficial. It's interesting. We will find 3 times in the Torah that Hashem tells Avram to go. Already had 2. Lech lecha in the beginning of this parsha. Lech lecha by Akedas Yitzchak. And let's look at source number 7. Before the circumcision, he says, "He saleich lefanai, walk before me, ve'yesumim, and be complete." So it's interesting. There are 3 times that Hashem says lech to Avram. What's the significance of mentioning this 3 times? Okay, so that's another set of questions. Let's move on to another set of questions. Medrash Rabbah, source number 8. Picks up on this idea that it says twice Lech Lecha. So the Medrash says, it says Lech Lecha once in the beginning of this parsha. It says Lech Lecha before the Akedah. And it says, Ve'inan Yodim Eza Chaviva. We don't know which one is more special before Hashem. Imashni or Ishona. The second time Hashem said Lech Lecha, or the first time Hashem Lecha. We wouldn't know which one is more precious to Hashem. In other words, we don't know which test Avram passed was any better. We don't know which proved him more. Really? If I'd ask you between the 2 tests, which is the harder test? To leave home or to kill your son? I don't know. I wouldn't know which one's better. I wouldn't know. Then it proves it. Well, when it says to go to Eretz HaMoriah, we see that the second one was more precious. I don't want to get into the proof of that. It's not important for now. But quite often, the real understanding is that how could you even think that they're on an equal playing field? How does the Medrash come to that understanding? Okay, now let's take a look at one other area in source number 9. And obviously, we're supposed to learn from everything that Avram does. So the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvar malalu. Whoever has the following 3 attributes, Mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu, is from the students of Avram Avinu. And who doesn't have these? And there's another three terrible traits. That means you're like Bilam Harasha. Now, what are the three traits that Avram had? Ayin Tova, a good eye. A good eye means he wasn't jealous. He had no interest in the business of others. He was happy if other people did well. He wasn't looking to get ahead of others. We see this, for example, when he won the battle against the four kings and he brings back all the wealth that was captured. And the king of Sodom says, you can have all the wealth. Just let me have my people. Avram says, you can have all the wealth. I didn't come to get your money. Avram was very happy that other people should have success in life. That's one of his qualities. What's the other one? A ruach nemocha. A humble spirit. Okay? He was a very humble person. You'll see in Parshas Chayesara, for example, when he wanted to bury Sarah, and he had to go to the people of Ches to find a burial plot, and they give him great honor as a prince, yet he bows down to them and he speaks very humbly before them, not trying to take advantage of the power that he has. So a humble person. And finally, v'nefesh shefala, which means the way they translate, a small appetite. In other words, he wasn't into lots of physical pleasures. How do we know that? One example was when he goes down to Egypt, he says to his wife, now I know you're a beautiful woman. What does that mean? Now I know you're a beautiful woman? Because he never really looked at his wife as an object of beauty for his pleasure. I don't want to get into the commentaries there, but he wasn't a lustful person. He never looked at his wife in a lustful way. When he goes to Egypt, and now he knows it has to do with Egyptians who are lustful people, he says, now I have to deal with the fact that you're a beautiful woman. But until now, it never was an issue in my life. He wasn't a lustful person. So these three qualities of wanting to see success for others, having a humble spirit, and not wanting to have excess in life, those are the three qualities of Avram. And if you have them, you are from the students of Avram Avinu. And what do you get? What's the difference between Avram and the others? Look at the end. It says, what's the difference? It said, Avram, the students of Avram, eat in this world and possess the next world as well. You enjoy this world and the next world. And they base it on a pasuk in Proverbs. There is what for those that love me to inherit. Remember, those who love me, Avram's the one who's called one that loves him, and their treasures will I fill. So they enjoy this world and they enjoy the next world. Okay, so beautiful Mishnah. But the question is, so what makes you the students of Avram? We know these three qualities. Why did Mishnah say this? How about, you know who's a student of Avram? Someone who can pass his 10 tests. Wouldn't that make him a student of Avram Avinu? Or how about people who have chesed, like Avram Avinu, would be a student of Avram Avinu? Why is it these three things and not other things? Okay, those are the basic series of questions that we're going to open up with. I can't promise we're going to answer them all. But these are some of the many issues that are in this parsha. So again, I'll get to three different areas. Each one is an amazing point in and of itself. We'll see how far we can get over here. And the Nesilin Shalom starts off over here with a discussion of a very famous idea based on the Arizal. We've mentioned it many times before. We even touched on it last week. That everybody here in this world is sent down for a special purpose and a special mission in life. Something that he has to accomplish in life, something he has to repair in life. We've even mentioned that's not just one thing in life. It could be during, every day there could be things like this. And Hashem presents everything that you have in life as the landscape, the props, for you to be able to accomplish what you have to accomplish in life. In other words, your gender, your appearance, your health, your financial abilities, your intelligence, all those kinds of things, what kind of family you come from, what country you're born in, what city you're born in, what kind of friends you have. Hashem provides you all the props in life that are meant for you to be the tools for you to accomplish what you have to accomplish in life. And included in that is the things that you might not think are so beneficial for you. Everything Hashem gives you is there for you to accomplish what you have to accomplish in life. What could that include? Well, that can include living in poverty. If that's what Hashem gives you, then that's the way you're meant to accomplish your mission in life. Maybe you were born to a very difficult family. Maybe you had parents who didn't love you. Maybe you had to go through a Holocaust. Not just the good situations, not just the good qualities that Hashem gives you, but in fact, everything that Hashem gives you is tailor-made for you to accomplish your goal in life, for you to get that goal that nobody else is meant to accomplish. Well, certainly when we have good things, we don't have much of a problem with that. A person's a millionaire, he says, well, I really like the job that Hashem gave me. I got all this money to give to tzedakah. Or if a person just loves doing incredible chesed and they have just a heart of gold, says, boy, Hashem, you made it really easy for me to accomplish my goals in life. But you'll never find that that only goes that way. It always goes the other way as well. And Hashem gives many people extremely difficult natures in certain areas, whether it be anger, whether it be lust, whether it be arrogance, or any of the negative qualities. That's also what Hashem gave you specifically in order for you to accomplish your mission in life. Simply put, to change those negative attributes. And then use those negative attributes in ways that could be helpful for mankind. So, and whatever situations in life that are difficult situations in life are also meant for you to accomplish what you have to accomplish. Although when it's happening to you, you may feel that it's a terrible thing Hashem did. What if you get fired from your job? Okay? How should a person look at it? Person look at, well, Hashem got me fired from my job because this is one of the ways I'm meant to accomplish my goal in life. So people might complain to Hashem, why did you give me such a terrible situation right now? We have to realize that everything Hashem is guiding us all to accomplish what we're meant to accomplish. If we're smart, somewhere along the line, we figure out what it is. If we're not so bright, we just bump along from situation to situation, negative quality outburst, negative quality outburst. But a smart person will start figuring, you know, maybe Hashem is giving me this because I'm supposed to accomplish something with this. If it's as simple as this is your negative quality, how about erase it? But that's going to take me years. Well, maybe that's the job Hashem wants you to do. To move from being a lazy good-for-nothing to becoming a zealous, alacritous person. That might be all that God asks you to do. But usually once you change into that, then other windows of opportunity come in that would not have come in otherwise. Now, we can't figure out, don't try to figure out this game and map out your life, but Hashem does a good job of mapping it out for you. And therefore, you know, again, when the things are going right, no one seems to have any questions, and could be, they think it's easier to the will of Hashem, although quite often it's even harder. But sometimes when things are going really well, we do even less of the will of Hashem. But clearly when things are not going well, people start having all kinds of complaints of why are things gone this way. So what Hashem is telling Avram, the first words he tells to Avram, Avram is the father of the Jewish people. And when you hear these words that Hashem says to Avram, you have to feel that these are the very same words that Hashem is saying to each and every one of us. When you read this parsha, you read these opening words, as we're going into the real winter season now, where really our Avodas Hashem has to really be strong, you have to just change the word Avram and put your name in there. Vayomer Hashem el Yossi. Hashem said to Yossi, Lech lecha. Lech, go lecha for your destiny. Go and meet and reach your destiny. Lecha, for you. It's about you. It's about you and your destiny to make corrections to your soul as is necessary as you're in this world. This is your main point in life. Every Jew has to keep saying to himself. This is the first words that were said to a Jew. Lech lecha. So it should actually be one of your mantras. Always have that mind. Lech lecha. Go. Hashem is telling me, go for your destiny. And the rabbis say, you know, a person can spend his whole life doing all kinds of mitzvahs. You could be davening for hours on every day. You could be learning Torah, and you can do chesed. But that may not be the unique destiny that you were meant to accomplish. You know, if you were given a poor quality trait, and you weren't smart enough to realize that your job is to improve it and to repair it, but instead you learned the entire Shas, which is amazing, and you did lots of chesed, and you davened really well, and those are all wonderful things, but that's not what God specifically sent you down for. Everybody's supposed to do that. But if you didn't work on this quality failure that you were given, or other situations came in life where you were the person who was meant to do what had to be done, then you really didn't accomplish what God sent you down in this world for. Now, obviously, it helps to learn Torah, and it helps to daven, and it helps to give tzedakah and things like that, because that makes you a person who's better suited to accomplish your mission. But if you don't really get to those missions in life, you kind of didn't accomplish what you were brought down over here. So Hashem says, and for you to reach that mission in life, this is what you got to do. Lech lecha, go towards your mission, and you're going to do it by leaving me'artzecha, from your land, umimaladcha, and from your birthplace, umibeis avicha, from the house of your father. Which means to say, you were born in a particular place, a particular time, a particular family, where there may be some good qualities, but there may also be some very not good qualities. And you have to learn how to leave those negative qualities that you have. If you are a child in a family where there was a miserable divorce and abuse, let's say, so you probably got hurt badly and handicapped badly, and you may have picked up some incorrect ways of dealing with your own life challenges. You could be born in a country where immorality is normal, where arrogantly showing off your great successes and stepping on people is applauded, right? Or you can be in a world where dedication to technology is worshipped more than relationships. So you have to learn to leave that. Because that's part of your destiny, is to leave those places and to go to the place that I will show you. And where is that place? That's going to be your destiny. Wherever that may be, wherever that will lead you, that's what you have to do. And when you're dealing with that, so there are two specific challenges that a person goes through in life. One, and we'll call them tests. One type of tests are the daily tests. The daily tests of Lech Lecha. Go for your own destiny with what? From your birthplace, from the land, from the house of your father. All these negative qualities that you have been given in this world, you have to leave them. And that is a daily test. You can't say, oh, I have a temper, and today I decided not, and I'm all done. No, you probably are going to get up every day for years and years and struggle with it and fight with it. And then maybe, after 50, 60 years, you may have accomplished it. But it goes with great suffering to have to fight. What if you're an arrogant type of person? Whatever it is, again, we're not blaming you that you are that way, because Hashem made you that way. But Hashem is saying, okay, now you got to spend a lifetime on working, and every day you have to get up and fight that specific Yetzer. What if you have a very sensual nature? And it's very hard for you to not think about certain things. What if you are a person with a tremendous appetite for food? And that really is a big focus of your life. And every day you have to fight it, not just because of a weight issue, because you really like to fress. and you're fighting being a fresser every day of your life. Okay. So this is one type of lech lecha. Go towards your destiny. And you know what? That is what Rashi says, because ultimately, what did Rashi say in source, which one am I at now? Which one? Five? Which was lehanascha letovascha, for your benefit and for your good. What's your benefit and your good? Achieving your destiny. That's your benefit and that's your good. That is the greatest pleasure a person can have, is when they achieve what they were meant to do in this world. So now he leaves home. So this lech lecha is representing the daily tests you have every day to deal with yourself. But then it says lech lecha another time, when it's to go slaughter your son. Now there's times where it's a situational test, where now you're in a position where, you know, it's not a question of just overcoming your temper or not being lazy. It's a question of, listen, I have to kill my son? We have situations that come up where Hashem presents a situation, and you're going to have to bite the bullet for Hashem. Are you prepared to do this? Are you prepared to be honest in a certain business transaction where the difference will be $1 million one way or the other? And that could be that challenge for that moment. So the Torah is telling us in these two lech lechas, as it were, that there are two different types of tests that we go through. Right? The long-term tests, we'll call them the longitudinal tests, and the specific moments of tests. And that's what the Medrash said in source number 8. It says two times lech lecha, because Rashi's interpretation of the first lech lecha is the same. Rashi doesn't have to say it a second time by the second lech lecha. Go for your destiny. Now, sometimes going for your destiny is a day-to-day struggle, leaving your home, leaving your birthface, and all those things that you have to deal with them every day in your life. And something, it could be these huge one-time deals, like sacrificing your son. And I don't know which one is more beloved to Hashem, because they're both very hard. Okay, there's a pasuk that seems to say that the second one is bigger. Without that pasuk, I think they're saying, because why? They're both meant to shape your destiny. And that's how a person has to look at the difficult situations that they come through in life. Hashem has given it to you, tailor-made, for you to pass them. And as you pass them, you grow to reach that destiny in life. So that really is incredibly important, because when we go through difficult times, we always seem to say, Hashem, why'd you give me this? And you got to realize that you have to look at it in a much different way. You have to say, Hashem gave it to you specially, tailor-made, for you to be able to achieve what you have to achieve. Now, but there's three times it says lech lecha those times, and then hisalech lefanai, walk before me and be complete. Why does it say it three times? So the Rebbe says like this. There are three types of periods within a person's life in which a person has to always lech, has to go forward. You have the first period of your life, which we'll call, so to speak, one's youth. And what is probably the biggest challenge of one's youth? Are your bad midos, your taivas, your lusts, because that's what you're born with. Now, youth can be a long period of time, depending on how long you live and how immature you remain. So even Avraham at 75 was told lech lecha, because he's relatively young, because he's going to live till 175. And the job in that time of life are the great struggles with the midos that you have to deal with. So that's one situation in life. Then when Hashem says, Hisalech lefanai veheyeh samim, walk before me and be complete, this is before the circumcision. Well, what are we saying now? Well, let's say you've passed that first state in life and you've already fixed up your midos, and you're no longer a balgaivan, a baltaiva, and you're not jealous of people, and you don't do any avarice anymore. You've corrected all the negative. But have you really accomplished enough positive in life? Maybe there's greater perfection you can achieve from an active point of view. To which Hashem says, you're a wonderful guy, you don't have avarice, but now you need to get a circumcision. You have to get a circumcision, and now you have to be complete before me. It's not enough not just to do averos. I didn't bring in this world to just not do averos. You have to accomplish positive things to go forward, as it were. And in Yiddishkeit, we can't stay in the same place. Hashem says there's new opportunities. You have to not only stay away from bad, but you have to accomplish a lot of good things in your day-to-day life. And then we have the third situation of the last Lech Lecho, where you have situations in life that are difficult to go through, such as the Akedah. And those are the three we have to focus on. And that's where our success will come in life. In each period, which in each era of a life, as it were. And you have to always know, you got to always lech, you got to go further. You can't be happy. When you're in the first part of life and you got rid of a little bit of your temper, you got to go further and further and further. And keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, going until it's out completely. You can't say, well, I'm sort of good at this. I'm a lot less lazy than I used to be. Yes, but are you still a little lazy? Then keep moving. But let's say you clear all that out, but now you've got to be more involved in positive things. New areas to go into. You got to remember, the circumcision was, nobody ever heard of that before. What kind of a vote is that to go and put a surgery on yourself, and that makes me a better person? Yeah, you have to now break new ground a lot of times. And that can happen when a person's 99. You're already not a young person anymore. You're getting older. Maybe you have to consider new things that you never considered before in your life. You know, like, you could still be an older person. You still don't know how to read Hebrew. But I don't do any sins. I don't talk Lashon Hara. Yeah, but you don't know how to daven properly. I'm too old for that. Well, no, you're still alive. Then there's a reason you should be alive. So there's a reason why you should accomplish some things that might be hard to do, physically hard to do. But as long as it isn't as hard as circumcising yourself at 99, it should be able to accomplish it. Right? And then you've got unique situations that come in life. You know, end-of-life issues where you have to make very serious decisions. How about a person whose life has been compromised through physical problems, and now they have to keep living their life as a Jew for maybe 10, 15 years in a compromised way? How do you serve Hashem then? So those are the three different eras, so to speak, that we have, and that's what we're meant to accomplish as much as we can. So that's the first idea. So that really answers the first set of questions. What's the Lech Lecha that Rashi's saying over here? So now we understand clearly what Lech Lecha means. Go to your destiny. And that happens even if it looks good or if it doesn't look good. It's always to your destiny. And it could be a constant battle that you have to have or a one-off battle that you have to have. But all the challenges in your life are meant for you to get to your destiny. So we'll say that's the end of part one of this talk. Now we got to move on to part two, where we have to get a little bit more specific of how we're supposed to deal with these tests. And how do these tests specifically help you with your destiny? And this is really a very fascinating idea coming up over here. So let's say, now I'm sure each of us could think about in our lives what our tests are. Right? It's always good. Everyone should personalize it. You know, now, if we had a discussion group and everybody was so heimish, we'd all say, okay, go around, tell me what your test is. But usually people don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about it. So we'll just say, as the great rabbis say, everyone knows the misery of their own souls. And we don't have to question people. We're not going through therapy right now. But there is a common thread that many people have. Okay, just think. Don't have to share it. But it's much better if you, in your own mind, think of certain tests you did go through. Okay? So think of either a test of a longitudinal test, where you're dealing with a character flaw, or certain situations. You know, maybe like a Shalom Bias situation, where the husband really, really wanted this, and the wife really, really wanted that, and you're at a, what do you call it? Loggerheads, that's the word. Now, really, somebody's got to give in over here. Somebody has to give in over here. Could be they're both being tested, and you decide you're going to be the one who's going to pass the test. Let's just say, for example, you have a child in your home, and his name is Yishmael. who you love dearly, and your wife, who's not the mother of this child, says, you know, he's a real juvenile delinquent. Throw him out of the house. Okay? I can't do that. I love him. It's, like, really important. I think I can help him out. Mm-hmm. He says, you better get him out of the house. Well, there's a lot of options on the table. But you figure, well, I guess it's one of these tests in life. And I'm just going to have to decide, do I want to pass the test or not? So what often happens, and this is something I struggle with, Hashem tests me all the time. I hope I pass more than I fail. But even when I pass, the Yetzer is so smart. After you pass, you're just upset about it. Okay, I gave in. I was the bigger person. I relented. And that's the fifth time in a row that I've relented while others don't. Mm-hmm. Or it could be with your wife. I'm not saying about my marriage. I'm talking about my marriage. I'm just saying what people can be. But they said, how come I'm the one who has to give in? And then you don't, and people say, well, you should feel proud of yourself. I don't feel proud. The other guy got the money. The other guy got this. And I just gave in. And you become resentful of passing tests. It's one thing to be resentful of the test. You resentful of the test and say, to heck with the test, I ain't passing it. Right? That's one challenge. We all have. First, will we pass the test? Or will we do what we should have done? Okay, now you're fighting. Okay, I'm going to do it. But I ain't going to be happy about it. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
And you kind of give yourself names like loser or wimp. I don't know what are the more contemporary terms that people use today. But you say, yeah, I'm the one who always gives in. All right? So this is very, very interesting. And the Sefer Shalom says, what makes Avram different than everybody else? Aren't there others who pass tests? So let's see what he writes in number 10. He says, and this really sums up a lot of it all over here. He says, the matter of the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu was not only the tests in action, for others can also achieve this level. There are other people who can give their lives away and die al-Kiddush Hashem like in the Holocaust, just like Avraham was willing to kill his son. True. There are many people who can give in to their wives, where Avraham had to do it twice. And those were two of his tests. She says, how about you marry this Hagar, this heathen? And that's not like what Avram was interested in. He just was not interested in marrying this non-Jewish woman. Yeah, it'll be a favor to me. Okay. And then after a while, I said, now get rid of her. Okay. So, okay, haven't you guys, any of you guys ever relented and gave in to your wives? How do you feel after it? Emasculated? Yeah, she did it again on me. Can't understand it. I'm the only one mature in this family, but happy wife, happy life. So we just got to do it and suffer along. And somehow I'm supposed to be happy. Okay, you follow. You got a relative who's really not careful with his finances. He gets himself in all kinds of trouble. So, and of course it's your wife's relatives, right? Or your husband's relative. It's never your relative. It's the other one's relatives. And I say, you know, can't you help him out? But I've told him so many times that he shouldn't have done these foolish moves, and he's going to get himself in trouble. And now I got to bail him out again. Yeah, but you know, but we really want to go on a vacation with that man. But he really needs the money. Okay, I'll help him out. You know, even though his name is Lot, and I told him, don't you move to Sodom, and he went and moved to Sodom and got himself captured, and now I got to go and save the guy. And I'd rather sit and learn in the yeshiva. Okay, I'll go and I'll help him out. The Yetzer is really smart. Even if you're going to pass the test, he's going to make you lose. But let's see what he continues. He says, but the main context of the tests was the great love that Avram invested into them. Because of his great love, he did not reflect at all. Reflect's not really the good word. That's question is the better word. But accepted everything with love. Many people have acted similarly like Avram as he did by the Akedah, but they can't compare to him in terms of the eagerness and holy fire that he approached the Akedah. What does it say when he had to do the Akedah? It says, the next day, Vayashkem Avram Babok, Avram got up early in the morning. Which tells you two things. Number one, that he's able to go to sleep at night. If you get up early in the morning, it means you can imagine the night before you have to kill your kid. You got to go to sleep? How can you go to sleep? And then you get up early to do it. And then there's another source somewhere over here. I don't remember. I put it down maybe later on. It says that he saddled up his donkey. It's somewhere over here. I just don't know where I put it. He saddled up his donkey. And that's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Number 15. He saddles a donkey to take his son to get killed. So love negates the standard conduct of those of prominence. You think Avram should saddle up his donkey? He should hire one of the workers to saddle it up. But if you really want to do something, you do it yourself. This is right from Avram. And Avram rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. If you love somebody, you do it all yourself. So you can imagine, Hashem said, why don't you kill your kid? So what did Avram say? He doesn't say, okay. He says, with pleasure. With pleasure. I love you. And if you want me to do this, this must be an amazing thing I should be doing. And I'm doing it with tons of love and simcha. Now I want to ask you, the last time you passed the test, did you pass it that way? If you passed it at all. Usually people who fail are happy. But here's the one who's passing. That's what you find. And that's why it comes over and over every time. Avram Ohavai. Why do we know about the 10 tests? Go back to source number 3. He sent them all. Why? To show what? L'hodia chibaso shel Avram, to show how much Avram loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So now let's just finish up what the son of Rebbe says at the end of source 10. That he did his actions with simcha. He did all with love. Now this explains another interesting thing. A lot of the tests that are listed on the list of tests, usually a test is, you got to decide. You want to pass the test, you want to fail the test. I say, lech lecha. Does he go, does he not go? It seems pretty easy. He passes the test if he goes. He fails if he doesn't go. Rebbe said, that's not exactly true. It doesn't say that he passed the 10 tests. What does it say? He stood by the 10 tests. Look again carefully in the third source again. He was tested, ve'omad bekulam. And he what? And he withstood them all. What does it mean he withstood? Just say he passed them. Passing isn't enough. You have to withstand it. Which means the tests show that, oh, I have a great opportunity to show how much I love Hashem. Oh, yes, sirree. Count me in. I'm happy to go. It's not okay if that's what you want. Guess I'll pass the test, but it's not going to be pleasurable. So, I lost track of it. So which one of the tests was I just talking about? With this, oh yeah. So therefore, let's say some of the tests, though, there wasn't anything to decide. Let's say two of the tests, for example, are one when Paro took Avram's wife, Sarah, into the palace. Another one was Avimelech took his wife into the palace. So what was exactly the test? The test was he was still besimcha. He was still besimcha. How do you react to the situation? Sometimes that is the entire test. It's not always what you do, but it's how you react. Hashem tells Avram, okay, you're going to have to leave home. And for whatever reason, this is a test. Fine, it's a test. But let's say, example, look at source 13. So what happens after Hashem tells him to do it? It says, Vayikach Avram es Sarai Yishto, and Avram took Sarai his wife. Well, of course he took his wife. Why does it say he took his wife? Because then it says they all went. So he knows the famous saying, by the way, how do you take someone? It's a, you know, he took his wife. What does it mean? He said, here, pick her up, throw her over his shoulder. Is that what he took his wife? What kind of word is Vayikach? He took his wife. I mean, if you mean they went along, you don't say, Vayikach means to take. So it's not over here, but a different Rashi, when it says that Moshe took Aaron, it says, you can't, Rashi points out over there, he says, you can't take someone physically. It means you persuade them with words. You say, wow, how fortunate you are. What a great opportunity. you only could take a person if you could persuade a person. So when Avram took Sarah, it means he persuaded her. What's he persuading him? If he would have been like me and you, Hashem says, hey, you like life in Toronto? Yeah, okay. I want you to go to the Sahara Desert now. What? Yeah, that's all Hashem. Oh, okay, I'll go. Oh, dear. Hashem gave us another one of these. We just have to go. Do we have to go? But Avram goes, Hashem told us. Now remember, Avram was very successful where he was in this place. Now he has to go leave where he's successful. Go where he doesn't work. He says, can you imagine Hashem is giving us an opportunity to show him how we love him? Isn't that amazing? Come on, dear. Aren't you happy that we're going? You see, the main lesson of Avram isn't that he passed the tests, but he stood by the tests. Those tests said, I have a chance to show how much I love Hashem. That's the greatest thing I could ever have. And if you look at all the tests, we don't have time to go through each one. There's lots of nuance to these tests. We already showed you so many already. He saddles the donkey by himself, gets up early in the morning to kill his son. That's most outstanding. So these are all the important ideas over here, is that he always felt a tremendous love. And my opportunity to show Hashem the love. So that's why that sets him head and shoulders between anybody else. Yes, we all have passed tests. But really to be with such simcha, you find it on occasion. I don't have time to tell any stories today because I have to make sure I finish everything over here. But now this can now explain some of the earlier questions that we asked. For example, we asked, well, why is Hashem promising him all these great gifts if he's going to pass the test? After all, Avram loves Hashem, right? So why is he promising all this? Well, it's interesting. Let's just look at Source 11 for a minute. A very interesting way the Ran understands the last test of Avram to kill Yitzhak. He says like this in Source 11. He gives a very unique interpretation. How did God start the command? He said, Kach no, please take. Now, if you look carefully back at that test, which we showed you in source number 6. Hashem says, please take your son. Does that sound like a command? A directive? If God says, you know, you have to kill your son, do you say please?
No.
So Ran says, based on that, fascinating, look in 11. He says, God did not order Avram to slaughter his son. And Avram would not have transgressed had he concluded that he could not perform this act. Avram said, but rather, Hashem said, no, Avram, could you do me a favor? Only if you want. Would you like to take your son and kill him, please? It's not like Hashem says, you have to do it. If you don't, you're a sinner. He's saying, you know, if you want, it would be a great thing. But I can't force you to do it. The test was to see if Avram could rise to the occasion and elevate himself. God was giving him an opportunity, but not a command. Avram took advantage and reached great heights as a result. All right? So this was such a great test. You know what made it such a test? Because he didn't have to do it. You know, you think it's a big test for Avram when Hashem says, go kill your son? Well, how can I not? Hashem said. How could that be a test for Avram? If Hashem says you got to do it, you got to do it, right? But Hashem says to him, you know, you really don't have to do it, but it would give me great pleasure if you would. Now that already, I have a way out. Okay, it'll give you great pleasure. Give me great pleasure not to. I'm sorry. Sometimes it's a bigger test if you're not forced to do it. You could think about that as a parent when you ask your child to do things. There's two ways you could say it. You said, Chaim, you know, pick up your brother at the airport. Go, Chaim, you know, I know you're busy and you really don't have to. If you do, it would make me very happy. So sometimes that's much harder to do it. Well, Ma didn't say I had to do it. So now what's going to be the reason you're going to do it? Not because it's the right thing, it's just make her happy. So kind of saying, well, you make me happy if you do it. I'd understand why you wouldn't do it. So that already, it's not so much that he did it. But obviously, you got to love Hashem a lot if he says you don't have to do it, and yet you're going to do it. So too, let's go back to the first test. when Hashem promises Avram all these amazing things, you know, if you're going to go, you're going to get rich, and if you go, you're going to be famous. And the commentaries add, the Sephorno on Source 14, I don't have time to go through it inside completely, but the real greatest thing, the Sephorno, is because Hashem says, a land I will show you. Hashem never really showed him a land specifically, but Sephorno says that, you know what, you're going to tell you get to this place because you're going to grow spiritually by going into Israel. If you notice, the first time it says, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Hashem said to Avram, but when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, it says Hashem appeared to Avram, which is a higher level of prophecy. And what Hashem is saying, you know, if you go, you're even going to be a bigger prophet. So not only did Hashem offer him physical rewards, mamish physical rewards, Hashem offers him tremendous spiritual rewards. Now, what's the real test? Is the test that Avram's going to do it? Is that going to be the test? Or is the test going to be, why does he do it? Does Avram do it because, oh, Hashem's going to give me this, and Hashem's going to give me this, and Hashem's going to give me this, and all these amazing things? So how do we know why he did it? Well, you know how we're going to know how he did it? Let's read in Source 12 and see what the pasuk says, which is very interesting. So now Hashem tells him to do it. So now the next pasuk says, either he goes or he doesn't, right? So it says, Vayelech Avram, Avram went. Now, why add these four words next? Kasher diber elov Hashem. As Hashem commanded him. Obviously, he went as Hashem commanded him. The answer is, all the rabbis say, there was two parts to what Hashem said. On the one hand, Hashem said, go, that's the command. Second, he sweetens up the pot. He says, go. Right? Hashem says, go. Okay, now, if you go, you're going to get this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Now, you going to go? Now the question is, what is going through Avram's mind when he is going? And this too is part of the test. The test is not, does he go or not? By Avram, it's never a question, he's going to do it or not. He's going to do it. It was never once on any one of the 10 tests an issue, he's going to do it or not. That wasn't the real test. The real test is he going to do it smiling? Is he going to do it because he loves me? Or is he going to do it because he's getting something out of it?
Wow, that's a trick question.
It's a trick question, exactly. Hashem says, go. And here's the reasons why, what you'll get out of it. So now the real question is, so why did Avram really go? So let's look again at Source 12, and you're going to see the answer staring you right in the face. Vayelech Avram went. Kasher diber, as Hashem commanded him, not as Hashem gave him benefits. That's where he stood to the test, not passed the test. It's not a question of passing a test. It's standing up to the test. And that is the most important lesson that we have over here. It's that many people say, okay, God gives us tests in life. We have to pass the test. No. Remember, God doesn't give you a... Remember, there's a famous statement, God doesn't give you a test you can't pass. Well, if he doesn't give me a test I can't pass, so why is he testing me? The answer is, I know you can pass it, but how are you going to pass it? That, it doesn't say, God doesn't give you a test that you don't pass happily. That it doesn't say. It says, God doesn't give you a test you can't pass. Okay, but he gives you a test that you can pass, but who says you're going to stand up to that? Which is incredible, because what really is happening over here is that it's not just a question to pass the test. The key is not to pass the test. That's the mistake we make. Oh, I know Hashem's testing me, and I just have to pass the test. No. If Hashem's testing you, you obviously can pass the test. That's not the question. The question is, you're going to do it with a smile or not? Remember, whatever you do, unhappily, ultimately you can't feel close to that which you recoil from. If you listen to God, but you're not happy doing it, you're not going to get closer to him. If you're having a husband, wife, or having a spat, and someone's got to give in, very important. Now, there's three ways we can look at this. Either you're not giving in. Now, that's really bad. That's really bad. Then we got the one giving in, but resents giving in. Well, I don't know which one's worse. Because if you give in resenting it, then who are you resenting? Your spouse who you gave in to. You may, if you would have said no and not given in, you may like the spouse even more. You follow what I'm saying? If you say, oh, sorry, I'm not going to do that, dear. I'm not going to do it. Forget, I'm not doing it. I'd rather die than do that. And you didn't do it, so you don't resent your wife because you said no. And you wish she didn't ask you. But when you give in and you're keeping score, it's the seventh time I gave in this year. She hasn't given in once. You know, you don't really feel snuggling up to that oppressive person. If God gives you a test and you say, oh, I'll do it, but I'm not going to like it, then you don't snuggle up to God either. Okay? Whatever you, when you do a mitzvah and you're not happy to do a mitzvah, it's better not to do the mitzvah sometimes. Well, I'm not suggesting you shouldn't do mitzvahs. But mitzvah's done with resentment. Mitzvah means to connect, to feel close. If you do it with resentment, how could you feel close? So if Hashem gives you a test and you don't realize, as we started 45 minutes ago, that everything God gives you in life is for you to reach your destiny. If you would just remember that, oh, this is part of reaching my... Oh, Hashem, thank you. You gave me a chance to meet my destiny. My wife told me to get rid of my son, her stepson. And I'm going to get rid of him. And that's going to make me amazing? Well, then I can only hug and thank you and kiss you, Hashem. And I'm so happy that I get to throw my son out of the house. Now, it doesn't mean to say you can't emotionally feel bad for the son. I'm not saying that, but he's thrilled to be able to do what Hashem wants.
But he didn't.
What do you mean?
Because God told him, listen to your wife.
Okay.
So he didn't do it with love.
No. If we look carefully at the text, which I don't have time to give now, I've showed you enough proof of other things. He did things very happily. Well, it ain't worse than killing his son.
Right.
And he did it happily. If we'd have time, we'd go through each one of the 10. I already gave you about 5 examples. Each one shows he did it happily. He went kasher diber lev Hashem. You know, when there was a hunger in the land, he had other options. He could have gone back home, but he doesn't go back home. He goes to Egypt. And when he goes to Egypt, you know, he's not in despair. If you look at the psukim, he's not in despair. He became a wealthy man out of all that. A person in despair has become a wealthy man. If we look at every story carefully, you'll see every time he was besimcha. This is already a whole new level, and that's why Avram is unique, and that's what he passed the 10th test to show how much he loved Hashem. Okay, that's part number 2. But now we have part number 3. How can we do that? Now all of a sudden we realize our tests are a much harder test than we think they are. Not only is it a problem for us to do it, now we got to do them happily. So how's that going to happen? So now we go to the next point, where Shiva Shalom brings another issue. He says, how can something be a test? He brings this from any Sfarim about this. What makes a test a test? So he brings down from many of the holy books that, let's read 16. At the time of a test, all of a person's comprehensions and levels are removed from his brains. In other words, normally we're able to think of things very rationally and things are very clear. For something to be a test, things have to be a bit unclear. For if it were not the case, if things were clear, there would be no test. Avram listens to Hashem, lech lecha, and then guess what happens? The only place in the world that's starving to death is the place Hashem sent you to. So kind of you're wondering, I'm just wondering how did that work exactly, you know? But you want me to do it and want me to be happy. Okay, I hear, but you're caught in a compromised position. Hashem causes you to be in a compromised position mentally. So what gets you through the test? Only that which he has achieved through his independent efforts and acquired with self-sacrifice remains in his hands, which enables him to stand by his tests, which means to stay. And what does that mean? In other words, when things are not during the test stage, how you work on your Yiddishkeit is what you have in the bank to pull out when you're in a stressful situation where you're not exactly sure how to proceed. That's what he's saying. You're in a tough situation because it isn't clear. Hashem purposely makes it not clear. What you normally understand, you don't understand. So now you have to act the way Hashem wants you to act. But it seems so hard because Hashem has removed any of that help. But if you got stuff from before built up, as it were, you're able to pass. But what is that? And so it was by Aaron at the time of the removal of his brains, that's a mystical term, during his test, he says there were three things that kept him with his wits and that kept him happy. And what was it? Those three things that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos said make you a student of Avraham: a good eye, a humble spirit, and a small appetite. Those three things were the foundations that he acquired with self-sacrifice. That was something he was working on his whole life. And therefore, because he was that type of a person who was not jealous of others, person wasn't into gluttonizing his life and looking for physical pleasures, and a person who was humble, because he worked on that when times were normal, when the tests came, that's why he was able to do the will of Hashem. And that's why he was able to do the will of Hashem happily. So we ask the question, well, why are we saying that, you know, you want to be a student of Avraham, you need these three qualities. Why don't we say someone who passes his 10 tests makes him a student of Avraham? Why don't we say it's a person who does chesed makes him a student of Avraham? You know what the answer is? You can't stand up to 10 tests, and you can't be a master of chesed unless you have these three qualities. Everyone says, oh, I wish I could pass tests. You know, if you want to be able to pass a test, you got to do your homework before you're given the test. If you work on yourself to be a humble person, you work on yourself to not be jealous of others, you work on yourself to not be a person who has to have all the pleasures of life, when you're working on that during your lifetime, when the test comes and you, so to speak, lose your focus, but those midos are still there, we'll see in a minute, you're able to accept what Hashem does, and you're able to accept it with love. You're able to do chesed to people who maybe don't deserve it. When it's the hottest day of the year and nobody's even outside, you're looking to do someone a favor. Where's that? So that's the key. It's not doing chesed. It's not passing tests. Because that doesn't make you a student of Avraham. Because you'll never be happy with a test. But you have these three qualities. Now, what's so important about these three qualities? Says in the Siva Shalom, they carry a very important common denominator. Let's back it up a minute. And he says, and this was a lifelong achievement. If you look in Source 17, the Talmud says, you know, all our patriarchs, they were learning Torah all day long. They learned Torah all the time. Question, they never got a Torah. What were they learning about? The answer is, they were learning all about these three qualities. There's millions and millions of pages that you have to go through to understand not to be jealous of other people, to be humble, to not think the physical world is something to run after. That takes a lot of study. And now the Nesivos Shalom takes us to the most important part. But we could jump for a minute. What makes these so important? Look at Source 24. Envy, lust, and honor drive a man from this world. Drive a man from this world. He's not in this world. Now, what's the opposite of those three? Negative. Those are the three that Avraham has. The good eye is the person who's not envious. Right? The lowly spirit is the person who's not looking after honor. And the shval ruach is the one that's not looking for the tivus of the world. So that's what Avraham was working on. But these three qualities, what's the foundation of these three? See, we're peeling back the layers. Oh, he passed 10 tests. Yeah, but that's not enough to pass a test. You got to do it happily. Oh, he was a Baal Chesed, yeah. Well, where did that come from? Because of those three qualities he had. But what are those three qualities based on? Now we take it back to the core of the onion. The Siva Shalom says in Source 18, the foundation of these three qualities is called in Chassidus, Bitul HaYeshus. Yesh means something. Yeshus is somethingness. You know, at Speedy, you're a somebody. So as the commercial goes, I'm a somebody. I'm a yesh. In Chassidus, the key is bitul hayesh. Self-nullification. Self-nullification. That sounds like you're a loser. And why do we need those three qualities that depend on this? So now we're going to show you a beautiful definition of bitul that I came across. People think, oh, Beatle means I'm a nobody, I have to give in at this. No. Beatle is the mindful realization that I have a purpose that is greater than myself. Beatle is tapping into a dimension that remakes a simple individual into a great person. Not because of who they are and what they have achieved, but because of what they represent. Above all, Beatle is not an end state. Beatle is a constant work in progress. And here's the most important line. Beatle is a shift from what do I need perspective to a what am I needed for perspective. And this came out in a beautiful story with the Bala Tanya. The Bala Tanya had a chassid who was complaining about everybody. He said, you know, I need parnasa, and I need to have the children married off, and I need this, and I need that, and I need all these things. And the Bala Tanya felt terrible for him. He had all these tzaras. So the Bala Tanya responded to him in source 20. And this response is the definition of Beatle. He was saying, you know what your problems are? You don't have any Beatle. He said, you state all that you need, yet regarding what you are needed for, you make no mention. That is one of the most powerful lines you're ever going to hear. And that is the yesod of Yiddishkeit. Everybody needs things because I'm a somebody. But to realize that maybe you're part of something much bigger than you, and do you ever wonder what you are needed for? What you are meant to accomplish? Are you focusing on why God put you in this world? Or are you focusing on what you want to get out of this world? And this is a lifetime avoda. You want to be a person who's not jealous of others? Then you have to have bitla yeshus. Why are you jealous of some? Because you want somebody else? But maybe you have to ask, what am I needed for? Maybe I'm needed for to help that guy. The other guy's got a lot. I'm not jealous. That's not what I'm needed for. You follow? Taivas, am I needed to be an eating machine? Is that what it's about? Am I needed to have lots of honor? Is that what it's about? All the interpersonal challenges we go through is because we keep saying what I want. Anytime you're getting in a conflict with another person, why don't you better say, what am I needed for? What's the bigger purpose here? What's my destiny? My destiny is what I'm needed for, to accomplish my destiny. So when I give in the fight, that's what I'm needed for. More often than not, we don't give in because of one of the three things that take us out of the world. If I give in, it shows I'm weak. If I give in, I don't get what I want. But if you realize it's not about you, it's about Hashem, it's a whole different story. And that's what the Nesivah Shalom says in Source 21. As long as a person is a Baal Yeshus, means a master of I want, it's impossible for him to be happy with his portion. Because there's always something missing, and he's never satisfied. Bitul HaYeshus gives a Jew the power to stand up to the difficult tests of life. That's what it really boils down. And isn't that what Avram said in Source 22? Vanochi ofer ve'efer. When he has to talk to Hashem to save stone, he doesn't come in and say, listen, God, I don't like what you're doing and this and that, and I think we should this. And he says, but I'm just dust and ashes. Could I maybe please just offer something? Please, can I just maybe make a suggestion? And then what does Hashem promise to Avram? He says, you know my promise in 23? Vesamti ezaracha kafaras. I'll make your children like the dust of the earth. Does it mean to say you're going to have so many children? Not necessarily, but they're going to be humble people. And they're going to realize, what am I needed for? But not, what do I need? And that ultimately is the goal of what we're trying to achieve in life. And that's why in Source 25, when they talk about the tests, the Medrash says, and now in the final test, and Hashem tests Avram, the word nisayon, a test, is also the word nes, which is a banner. And the Medrash says the purpose of a test is to raise a person's level like the raising of the mast of a ship, to realize what the person was able to accomplish in life. And that is that's the message of Avraham Avinu. So, number one, everyone should realize Hashem speaks to every one of us every day, and he tells us, lech lecha, go to your destiny. And you're going to have what kind of tests? You have internal tests of your midos that are going to test you every single day. You're going to have situations in life like lech lecha to shecht your son, and you're going to have to give in that situation. You're going to have tests where you have to grow in your Yiddishkeit as the circumcision would require. And then every one of those tests, the real goal of the test is to recognize that Hashem is giving me an opportunity to raise my mast of my ship. Because it's not what I want in life, it's what I'm needed for. And that takes a lot of study. That is its own world of study to realize how smart Hashem is and how smart I'm not. And every time you find out new amazing things, wow, I really don't know anything. And maybe Hashem knows a lot more than me. And then when you have a test, you're now in the opportunity to have that paradigm shift. It's not what I'm giving up, but what I'm needing for. And then I want to do them besimcha. This is what Avram gave us. So Hashem should help us that as we start the patriarchs, to be able to go with that mantra, what am I needed for, we'll be much happier people. And best thing is we'll reach our destiny. Amen. Amen. Okay, Shkaya,
so
we got it all in.
It was brilliant. Thank
we
you.
Got it all in. I hope I did it justice.
You did. It was amazing. Thank you.